Don't get driven by what you hear. Don't get blown away. I'm not blown away, but I'm positioned. I'm stationary. People hate you. They treat you bad. Keep your position. I'm not going to get out of my position to deal with you. I don't have the problem. You got it. If you got a problem, I can't help it. Don't blame me. Blame God. Because he said, I can be fruitful. All you're looking at is the fruit of my labor. The fruit of me staying positioned and delighting in the word. When God blesses me, you can't get mad because I bear fruit. If you did it, you got the opportunity. Like I said, it's not a reward, but it's a result. It happens because I made that my delight. That's all my attention and my affection is on this. And I'm planted by the river of water.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Matthew 28 and 19, I want you to get it. We're going to read it. Matthew 28, 19, and then we'll walk through these others. If you have it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19, begin reading now.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want us to focus on the subject, we have work to do.
Come on, sir.
We have work to do. My brothers and sisters, yes, we shouted last Sunday, oh, he rose, he rose, he lives, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's good, wonderful. But now what do you do with that? Some of you were not here last Sunday, so I just want to take a moment and just refresh you on these 5 points that are so important. Since the resurrection, since he has gotten up now, what does that mean to the believer? Well, one, it means that we have a living hope. No matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what happens to us, no matter what we go through Christ Jesus, because of his resurrection, we have a living hope according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. The late R.W. Schambach put it this way. If your problem is not bigger than the resurrection,
come on, sir.
You don't have a problem. I wish I had a witness here. Why? Because we have a living hope. Two, because of the resurrection, we are compelled to love.
Yes, Lord.
And what I love about it is, it's not with our love. It's with his love that constraineth us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. His love constrains us. In other words, his love makes us do what our love wouldn't let us do.
All right, sir.
And if you find yourself loving folk that don't love you, find yourself loving folk that hate you, find yourself loving folk who do you wrong, it's because you belong to Christ and his love makes you love even those who are unlovable. Thirdly, because of the resurrection, we are free from sin. Now, it doesn't mean we don't sin. It means we don't serve the same master of sin, which is Satan. Romans 6, 5 and 6 tells us this. We are free from him because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So keep this in mind now. It's all going back to the fact that he has risen, and because of that power, that reality, we are better than what we were before the resurrection. We've got greater power than we had before the resurrection. Since then, there ought to be something that we are connected to that's greater than us, and that is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Fourth thing you need to know is that because of Jesus' resurrection, we're equipped to do good works.
All right, sir.
You might not think you are, but you are equipped to do good works. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. They teach us that we are equipped to do the good works. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then finally, this resurrection experience teaches us that because Jesus rose from the dead, ascended back to his Father, when he comes to reign again, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 tells us it allows us to reign with him for 1,000 years,
right,
or in
God.
Man terms, forever. Forever. So now, the resurrection should give us a new perspective about the reality of what he has given to us since he rose. Now remember, Jesus got up and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary of Bethany, etc., and different other writers give different perspective. And the reason they do that is because they were writing to different audiences. Matthew was writing to the Jews, so his perspective was one for the Jews. Mark was writing to the Romans. That's why he spoke about the authority of Jesus and the miracles that went above and beyond the power of Rome. Luke spoke to the Greeks because he was a Greek himself and had the reality of interpreting the word of God that Greek Christians could understand it better. But John was a universal speaker. He spoke the whole world to the whole world. That's why when he starts off, he doesn't go like Genesis does. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John takes it back further than that. John says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't know, the Word is Jesus.
All right, then, John.
And the Word was with God.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was with God.
Yes, he was.
And the Word was God. Jesus was God, John is telling us. So it's important to see these writers gave different perspective. That's why it appears as if they sometimes are saying different things or saying something different than the other writers said, because they knew, led by the Spirit of God, what was pertinent to the people they were talking about.
Lord.
Amen. So now the story goes on at verse 11. The century, the guards, they go back to town and they tell them what had happened. They said, listen, tell them his disciples came and stole his body.
Oh,
why? Because they did not want it to be noised that Jesus rose from the dead. They paid the guards big money. Somebody say big money.
Big money.
See, when you're lying, cheat, you got to pay big money to keep their mouth closed. And listen, because this is interesting now. They did not want the people to know Jesus had done what he said he was going to do. You remember early in this 28th chapter when the women came to see him, the angel said, he is not here. He is risen, what? As he said. As he said. So they didn't want it, as he said, to be a reality. So they wanted to know, wanted people to say that the guards were sleeping. Now, again, I threw out parenthetically, when there was a Roman seal, a watch, the guards who were guarding a prisoner, if that prisoner escaped, that guard had to pay with his own life. So it behooved him not to fall asleep on the job. And here, but they tell him, listen, not only are we going to pay you some good money, but if this reaches the ear of the governor, we will persuade him and keep you safe. We'll tell him, listen, yes, he did get up and rise, but we don't want our people to know that. So don't do the guards no harm, because they couldn't have stopped him anyway. All right, so now Jesus tells Mary to tell the disciples, meet me in Galilee. Now they go up, verse 16. Into a mountain where Jesus told him in Galilee. Now this is important because this mountain is called the Mount Arbel, A-R-B-E-L, or Arbel, as some would say. It was the highest mountain in the Galilean area. It had a great backdrop to the Sea of Galilee, but it was also from Mount Arbel that they could look around, Jesus could, and all of the different little cities around Galilee that he ministered to, he could see those cities from Mount Arbel.
Yes,
Not only that, it is suggested it is this place where he preached or taught Matthew 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's a very a crucial mountain to the ministry of Jesus. He tells the disciples, meet him back there. Now there he is, and Jesus says this, all power in heaven and in earth,
yes, sir,
is given unto me.
All right there, doctor.
Now what is he doing? He's establishing the fact that since he has risen from the dead,
yes, sir,
the Father has transferred into his hand,
yes, sir,
all power in heaven,
uh-huh,
and in earth.
Yes,
so
sir,
he's making clear both his position and power.
Uh-huh.
And what's important about this is he's talking to the 11 disciples. Remember, Judas is dead now.
Uh-huh.
He has committed suicide, went out and hung himself after they would not take the money that back that they gave him to crucify Jesus. So these 11 men now, they come there. Some are still doubting. Why? Because
yeah,
it's fresh.
Uh-huh.
They hung him on Friday, and now he's telling them on Sunday, all power in heaven and earth is in my hands, been given to me.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's interesting again about this is the fact that they hadn't even finished grieving and processing the fact that they saw him crucified horribly on that cross. They saw him die.
They
knew he was put in the tomb.
Yes,
and
sir,
now he's before them. They worship him, but somewhat. Some doubted. Now, I love the reality of this because, listen, everybody who say, I'm going to heaven, ain't going.
Come on there, doctor.
Everybody that say I'm a believer don't really believe.
Come on, sir.
But this word doubt is not the same doubt as to not believe God. It means that they have not yet fully begun to receive that new information.
Yes,
so it was a doubt as in I'm believing. I'm getting there, but I ain't there yet. Now you got to remember, this is important because Thomas said, I won't believe. Y'all come on that way that he came up in here and walked through the door and all that good stuff. I won't believe till I can put my hand in his hand and thrust it in his side, and then I'll believe that's him. When he showed up that next Sunday, he said, come here, Thomas. Put your hand. Like, oh, Jesus. Thrust your hand. Then he says, my God and my Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen.
Yes, Lord.
But blessed are they,
yes, Lord,
talking about us,
yes,
who believe and have not seen. So now, he's telling them this
come on,
again.
Doctor, come on.
All meant all back then. And all means now, right now.
All is all.
He says four times all in these three verses. All. Listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Yes, sir.
All right. Teaching all nations.
Come on, sir.
Then he goes on to say, all things whatsoever I've commanded you.
Yes, sir.
And lo, I'm with you. Always is a compound word of A-L-L-W-A-Y. When you put them together, you drop one L, but it still means all.
Still means all.
Way. Four times he says all. Why? Because he's trying to let you know that the totality and the reality of everything starts and stops with him.
Come on, doctor.
Now, he's telling the believers, his followers, listen, I need you,
yes, sir,
to go ye into where? All the world. I need you to go and teach all nations. That's the whole world. I need you to go everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Why does he tell them that? Because what he's trying to help them to understand is what he has done in the 3.5 years of transferring his trend of thought into their thought processes. He wants them to continue it and to pass it on.
Yes, Lord.
Let me throw this out very clearly. The Lord has never given us anything that was intended for all of us to be kept by us, for us alone.
Come on, sir.
Freely you have received.
Yes, sir.
So freely give.
Yes, Lord.
He taught them so that they might teach others. Go ye therefore, teach all nations.
Lord have mercy.
Look at this word teach. King James uses the word teach, but the ESV, English Standard Version, NIV, New International Version, the NLT, New Living Translation, all say make disciples. The word teaches disciple, all right? And then the Message Bible uses the word train.
Train.
Go ye therefore and train all nations. So listen. All three of them are correct, but this is what I want you to understand why it says this like this. Because the word teach comes from the word mathetuo. Mathetuo. Mathetuo is a process. Jesus says, listen, you were first pupils. You became disciples, and now you're promoted to teachers and scholars.
Yes, sir.
Mathetuo is a process.
Yes, sir.
When he says, go ye therefore, teach, make disciples, train, it meant with the process in mind. Again, what was the process?
Uh-huh.
Believers begin as pupils.
Yes, Lord.
Babes begin as pupils. That's information. Disciples progress upward, now move into instructions. Instructions. They are to follow instructions.
Yes, Lord.
Move up higher than that is teaching or scholars. That's so important because that's where they give insight.
Uh-huh.
Insight. It's going to be confirmed later in this 20th verse, but
yes,
I want you to stay right there and understand. Information, they're informed, they then have instructions, and then they have insight. Listen, how many times have you read the same scripture? Let's take John 3:16. You've heard it from a child on up to adulthood, right? And many other scriptures. But here is the thing. Every level that you rise to, your understanding becomes deeper or more profound. You understand it better. When you get to the point where you are a teacher or a scholar, the insight that you have been imparted by way of revelation is not for you to keep, but for you to continue to share it with others. With others. There's always going to be somebody starting, somebody being discipled, and someone ready to move up to teaching. And when they reach to that point, it's the old adage, each one, reach one, and teach one.
Yes,
see, every believer has a responsibility to reach one.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Each one of us have a responsibility. If you are not reaching one, you are not doing what Jesus has ordained you to do. And when you reach one, the purpose is to teach one.
Yes, sir.
And then teach them to reach one and to teach one and to pass it on. It's a process. Somebody say process.
Process.
That's so important. Because when you get that part done and straight, you've got to recognize that that is a part of the Great Commission, the command of Jesus Christ. Let's move on because it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Now, the word baptizing them in is perhaps not the clearest understanding of the word because it really means baptizing into. You see, when you're baptized, you're not just in water. You're not just sprinkled with water. You are taken or submerged under the water. In this submersion, you are altogether placed under the water.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, you are no longer seen when you go under the water, correct?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But there is a reason for that. You are being baptized into something far larger than you. Here are the three things you're baptized into. You're baptized into the Father, into the Son, into the Holy Ghost. But what does this mean? You're baptized in something that is of greater measure than you.
Yes, sir.
You're baptized into something that has greater mass than you. And then you're baptized into something that has greater movement or motion than you. When you get in the water, you might move a little bit of the water.
Uh-huh.
But how many of you know when you get in the water can move you wherever it wants to?
Lord have mercy. Come on, sir.
Have you ever heard of folk getting out in the sea and getting out in the ocean and so forth, and they got swept away by an undercurrent? That water, once they got in the water could take them where they wanted to. They became a part of a greater. Stay with me here.
Yes, sir. Greater.
When you are baptized into the Father, the Son, and into the Holy Ghost, you are a part of something so great that you are no longer your own. You belong to them.
Come on, sir.
Your will is not your will. Your power is not your power.
Yes, sir.
Your strength is not your strength. Whatever you are before them, it is minimized once you become in them.
Yes, sir.
Because they are in complete control. Lord, I wish I had somebody.
Come on, Jeff.
And so that means your will is no longer your will, but His will.
His will, His will.
Your life is no longer your life, but His life.
Yes, Lord.
And you do whatever it is He desires you to do. Keep all this in mind now.
Yes, Lord.
Moving on to verse 20. We're almost through. It says, teaching. Now, the first word, teach, was mathetuo. Mathetuo, that's a process of learning. Pupil, disciple, teacher, or scholar. But this word, teaching, is a different word from mathetuo. This word is didasko. Didasko, it's spelled D-I-D-A-S-K-O. But it's pronounced D-E-D-A-S-K-O, didasko. And that literally means to, again, give instruction. It means to give information and insight as well. But here's, again, what it's saying. It's in the continual mode of operating, teaching. Not teach or taught, as in past tense. Present tense and past tense, but teaching, continual process. That means this, and this is what every believer ought to know. You should never, ever get tired of learning the truth of God's word. Can I tell you, as I've said so many times before, all that is in the word, that is to be put in the word, is in the word. But all that is to come out of the word has not yet come out of the word.
Come on,
which
Lord.
Means the word is pregnant with new meaning, new revelation, new understanding. In other words, you cannot exhaust the word of God.
Come on, sir.
The more you get into it, the more it gets into you, and the more God reveals to you.
Yes,
listen. Because you are giving more and more of yourself to Him.
Yes, Lord.
And so don't ever think, oh, I know that scripture. No, you know of that scripture. You don't know that scripture because you would be amazed at what you still don't know about the scripture you just said you know.
Come on.
You know of it, but you don't know it. Because to know it means to know all of Him. And we do not know all. He knows all of us.
Yes, Lord.
But we do not yet know all of Him.
Come on,
teaching
doctor.
Them to observe. To observe. That's another interesting word. Comes from the Greek word tereo. Tereo. T-E-R-E-O. Tereo. Now, here's what's interesting about this. It means three things: to keep, to guard, to preserve. Teaching them to keep all things whatsoever I have commanded. Teaching them to guard all things whatsoever I have commanded.
Yes,
teaching
Lord.
Them to preserve all things whatsoever I have commanded.
Come
See, that
on,
word
sir.
Observe means, listen, don't let it go in one ear and come out the other ear.
Yes, Lord. Please,
you
Lord.
Need to teach them to hold on.
Hold on.
That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. You've got to learn how to keep to God, to preserve
yes,
the Word
yes.
of God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know your